There. This is the AWOL Radio Show. I am your host, as usual, the Walrus, Mike Powell. Hope y'all are doing well out there. Quick shout out to my boy, Eric. This show is for you, my man, because I know you've been looking for us to put up some new ones, and I've been kind of lazy and also just not wanting to be around people. So, it happens. Terrible person. But, quick shout out to Eric for that. So, without further ado, let's get into quick introductions as we usually do. This time in front of me is
Lou Valentine.
LV is back in the building, folks.
Yes, it feels good to be back. It's been a long time.
I'll plug in some audio effects and people clapping for you.
I've been feeling hurt. I've been feeling like I need to get out.
Do you feel lonely?
Some fangs into the world.
Huh? Is there a certain sadness to all this? Do you feel lonely?
Yeah, in a way.
It's a lonely time for you, a lonely spring.
He needs a hug, folks. He needs a hug. Oh, quick point.
I can express myself.
That voice that you just heard is a new person.
This voice.
Okay, yep. It's that voice. It's not a ghost, okay? Though he is a white person. He's not a ghost. So without further ado.
That's what I'm best known for.
I do want to introduce, or have him introduce himself, our guest. Guest for the evening, one of our first guests coming into 2017.
Yeah, I'm Tony Kokensparger. I write and perform here in Harlem. I'm from Ohio.
We got a guy from Ohio here, guys. That's how far we reach.
The only reason I moved all the way here is just to be on this very podcast.
Exactly. He heard about it. He was like, I'm moving to New York.
Sir, you birthed the dream.
and who just creeped in? Who just creeped in? We're gonna have a full house today, folks. None other than Mr. Chef Serrano.
It's popping, people.
This man made some steak today.
He made an amazing steak and rice for us. So steak. For those who don't know, it was quite bomb. So,
it was. I almost dropped my drawers for it. It was crazy.
It was crazy. I have no idea why you would be dropping drawers, but that's
I'm just saying the steak was that great. It was really good. I'm saying I would do it.
Bash comes after me for this. It's your fault.
It's my fault.
It's your fault.
So, without further ado, folks, hopefully you guys have been having an amazing week. We will refrain from the Trump talk on this show. We will save it for the next show because that tends to take up too much of our time.
Fuck that nigga.
That's our general opinion. So, but we're going to keep it light today, as most of us have been watching Netflix like fiends. And Netflix, applaud to them for gaining amazing shows. I mean, they've been killing it. So, today's topics...
I'm not too sure about the Iron Fist.
Wait. No, wait, wait. Let me just share with the people. Let me tell the people what they can expect to hear today. Today, we're going to be talking about Get Out, the film by... Mr. Peele, correct?
Yes, Jordan Peele.
Jordan Michael Peele, is it?
Yes,
Jordan. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about Logan, who many of us saw.
Yes.
Did everyone see the fan-made trailer for Deadpool 2?
No, but hold on.
I did.
And we're going to be talking about the Dave Chappelle comedy series, where he has 2-hour-long programs on Netflix.
Yes.
And he talks about a lot of heavy stuff on there while cracking a lot of jokes. And the crowd seemed to be lost a bit. But we'll talk about that in a second. So, first, I think we're just first going to dive right into... I do want to talk about Get Out. I mean, I feel like... Dude, I had a plan in my head.
Because I know you guys are going to get into it. We're talking Netflix.
So let's just talk about Netflix in general.
There are these two shows which kind of inspired the steak we had today. The first one is called Samurai Gourmet.
Oh, you're going to talk about that one now?
Yeah. Well, I just want to throw it out there before you, because I know you're going to dive in.
Go ahead.
Which was, it's hilarious. And it's not what you think by going by the name Samurai Gourmet. It's
yeah.
Not.
It tricked me too, folks. See, that's what I thought like it was, awesome, too.
It's live action.
That's why I didn't want to watch it.
It's a live action.
It sounds like a Fruit Ninja Gone Wild.
The
like,
second one fruit is ninja called...
Tell us a bit about Samurai Gourmet.
Well, Samurai Gourmet
tantalize the listeners.
Is about... It's about a retired Japanese fellow. He's 60 years old. He's just retired. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't know what the hell to do with his life now.
This is fictional.
No, this is like, well, it's fictional.
Tell me what it's from, though. It's from a manga. It's or from a manga, or however you pronounce it. It's from a series that's been out for a while, I guess, right?
Yeah, and I never knew about that series.
Until I never heard about it.
And then he loves reading about, you know, Shogun era samurais. Mm. So he ends up at a little hole in the little restaurant. He goes, he sits in, and he notices beer. They have beer.
Cold beer. It's lunchtime.
Mm. And, you know, he just retired, so as a working man, you couldn't drink during the day, especially at lunch. You got to go back to work.
Damn right.
And then the samurai walks in, and just whole manner of tomfoolery unfolds.
There we go.
And so the second series is called Midnight Diner Tokyo Stories, and it's all the things that happen in this little diner. I haven't watched that
one yet. Wait. Hmm.
Now, isn't that also from a graphic novel, a Japanese graphic novel, more than likely?
It didn't say.
Now, that's just like mini stories set in a diner.
Yeah, the stories of the lives of the people that go to the diner and how they intertwine.
That's brilliant. That's freaking awesome.
And each show, they show the food in such like a...
Do they do that in the diner show?
You look at that.
It's basically a food show because the food is amazing. I mean, they show you how to cook it. They're showing you the ingredients, everything.
That'd be so awesome.
While doing this fiction.
It's just one setting, but it's
different. No, I mean, it's the same structure that you've got doing like an American Horror Story. If like you've seen Me and You and Everyone We Know, it's... you sort of like complete the fiction that you're creating, like the plot, like okay, so like if every story about love is just two people meeting and then they end up together or they leave forever,
okay,
every story like this, like the way that you sell the story to the audience or whatever, the way the audience knows the story is over is the sort of interspersing of everything. It's the web you create. So over time, the more you complete the tapestry of how everybody's linked up or how everybody...
it creates this bigger...
Yeah, but Me and You and Everyone We Know, by the time you realize how everyone is connected, you have a sense of like closure in your brain. You have a sense of completeness. It's like when you watch like the new season they did on Netflix of Arrested Development, where they have each episode is about a different character, but by the end you know what happened for the whole story.
Wait,
that's interesting.
Time out.
Do you not know?
Did you not find out? Season?
It's been out for like 3 years, motherfucker.
Wow, are you that far back?
I didn't know that was out.
I thought you were going to say like 3 weeks.
It's like three years. It's the whole cast, but because they
couldn't. I heard about it, but I didn't know. I thought it was still on, I thought it was like on IFC or some shit like that.
No, because they all had different schedules. They just they wrote it so that they could film an episode about each person and then have them all like tied together.
That makes sense. And I think that's a brilliant way to shoot any type of program that's meant to be a series. It makes total sense because oftentimes people are intrigued by like, you know, some offhanded character that maybe you as the writer didn't really
think about, you get to make a whole world in each character.
A whole new world.
Each character gets their own separate world.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
There's a lot of artistic freedom in that.
Yeah, I think that's like brilliant. I mean, since we're still on Netflix, let's just rock the Netflix wagon out there for a quick second.
Iron Fist.
Oh,
I need to talk about this.
This is like the toughest fucking show.
Oh, that might be a downer conversation.
I haven't finished it. I'm still on episode 10.
I haven't finished it.
Well, we're going to ruin it for you right now.
I don't care.
So Netflix. All right. So for those who don't know, the Netflix world has acquired the rights or the agreement to produce The Defenders. Because that's where it's leading to. That's what's going to happen. For those who don't know, that's where it's all leading to. It's to The Defenders, which is going to incorporate Jessica Jones,
Luke Cage, Daredevil,
Iron Fist, and the Daredevil series. Now, for those of us who are fans of the Marvel Universe, of comic book world, and of seeing it finally after our childhoods growing up dreaming of this live, right? How many of us, now mind you folks, there's four of us in this room. How many of us are disappointed with this fourth installment of the Defenders concept?
It was a letdown. I mean, I'm not going to...
He's not even done, okay, guys?
I'm not even done, but I feel like it's somewhat of a letdown. It's, you know what? It's
it's starting to feel redundant. Storyline.
Yes.
Is that what you're experiencing
it's,
now?
It's redundant, and the fight scenes are slow. Yeah, because in all the other shows, the fight scenes were organic to me. They look like real fights.
Okay.
People took real damage. This one is very choreographed, very posed.
I see.
You know?
I see what you mean.
You can.
It's predictable. Yeah. Like
it's predictable.
You can tell what the next person's move is going to be.
It's not as gritty as Daredevil.
As a Daredevil, everybody's been saying that the Daredevil fight scenes are like
getting
why.
Softer and softer with each character. Like, no, I honestly feel that way. Jessica Jones was a little bit pretty gritty.
Was gritty, yes. Was gritty as hell.
What about Cage?
Cage. It got a little bit on the soft side.
It was kind of good. It was a good feeling show. I can't lie. Good,
yes.
You
exactly.
were like, oh man, the Negroes won.
Exactly.
Did you see the fan edit?
It was a good time.
Yes.
And yes.
No, so
did you see the fan edit of the opening with the Family Matters song? That should have
no,
you done.
I did not see that.
They have a fem
Family Matters.
On YouTube.
Is that
they
the
have
good
a fem,
times
they have the Family Matters song, right?
Us?
And they have all the cast of Daredevil like. Like, they took snippets of the show where they were, like, happy and shit, and they edit that into the montage of the opening scene.
Someone needs to do that for Cage. To all my
video
editors, to all my creatives, I want to see the opening segment, the opening of Luke Cage turn into a Good Times or Moving On Up or 227.
No, because it's already out there.
It's
out there already.
Of Cage.
I told you, with the Family Matters song.
I gotta see that. I love that.
Like the dude pops the guy that dies, the hairdresser.
Yeah.
They had at the end, both of them were sitting on lawn chairs out in front of the
now Cage.
The barbershop.
Now we already talked about Cage some months back.
Back when
but
television was simple.
It's just talking about it now still is just makes me remember how much it bothered me that the black female cop or the detective rather was like this hateful, angry woman. Because Rosario Dawson's character, who was the Latina, right?
It's caught it.
Had Cage's heart. But the whole time, they make it look like there's a love possibility, a connection between Cage and the detective.
Well,
she was going to get that coffee.
I haven't seen this. I haven't seen this, but yeah, I fell asleep watching Suicide Squad all night, and I can't like watch violent things for a while because I just like woke up really angry the next day. It's been a minute, but like so like Luke Cage came out and I just dipped. But like is the problem with like this character is just that the fact that it's like is she like the only black woman on the thing or is
yes
it,
no.
This is important. But like
you're right.
So if she's the only one that's rough, but it's also
at least attractive because the other one is old.
But the thing is, it's important to be able to like.
It's
equally important to like have black female characters that we don't like in the same way that we have like men all the time that we don't like on screen, and we're just like fine with that, and we just treat them just the same. Mm-hmm. But like in a world where like black women don't get as many roles in film as they like and TV and shit like that.
Yeah.
It's important to have ones that we don't like. It's important to have characters.
But it really depends on your perception, though. It could be the fact that is it that she's being a strong woman who's taking no shit, or is she just being a bitch?
Mm-hmm. Well, first, hang on.
Like, you know what I mean?
Here's the thing with that. Okay, because of biracial. Relationships, the black woman always like, oh, why the black man can't stay with a strong black woman? But in the show, they had the black woman be so strong and independent, but she was angry and she pushed this dude away.
Yeah.
So of course he gravitated to the more nurturing.
But there was already
person.
That element, the fact that he was already married with a black woman.
No. What? Granted, he might have been married to a black woman, but again, this still goes back into like a lot of black issues.
Killed her off quick.
He might have been married to a black woman.
I know you're going
but,
off of like
but
image propaganda.
She was
or, like,
super light skinned. Like she wasn't anyone. Dude, she was a scientist,
Spanish.
And I thought that she was a
Spanish, Spanish
woman.
Yeah.
So I was a little. I didn't know. And then still to go back to Tony's point.
So you're going back to the Willie Lynch.
There are two black women in this show. You have one who's a politician who's corrupt.
Oh no, the third black woman is the MILF.
Who?
The boy's mother that she was always trying to get this dude.
Oh yes. Okay, so you're totally right. So there's three black women in the whole show. All right. You have one who's a lawyer, single mother, okay, black woman. Okay. You have another who, oh, who's a single mother and is attracted to what many would be like, well, why is she settling for a guy who sweeps up hair in a barbershop? She's a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, within our culture, that's like one thing is like, why would you step, you know, like, why, like, you know, like, does he have an education? All these other questions, whatever. So
it's
you
not
got
about
her.
That. She sees a good laugh. Man.
I mean, well, but he's a good man. And yeah, I mean, but that's the thing.
That's a word.
Then you got the old lady who's the villain, okay? Who's a politician and crooked as hell, whose cousin is some gang banging mafioso black guy, all right? Yeah, so that's her, all right? Launders money and everything. Then you have the third one who's the detective, who's a black woman who clearly has been hurt at some point in her life, but they never say how. Now, my only problem, though, is that, to my understanding, now, folks, if I'm wrong, please send me an email, yell at me on Facebook if you know me, but to my recollection, Claire, who's the nurse, never had a relationship with Luke Cage. That was written in. So the same way that they wrote that in, why couldn't they just write in the black woman being with him?
But I mean, why are you upset? It's the fact that they... No, no, okay.
Yeah, that was real life.
First of all.
That was real life.
First of all.
What are you trying to say about black women?
No, excuse me. That's the same point that black women make about black men all the time. It's real life. The black dude is not going to take the fight. He's going to gravitate to the more nurturing person.
No, you cannot be upset at that. You cannot be upset at that. And then think about it, the disrespect to the Hispanic female, who's also treated like a Jezebel. If you want to
put
it
in that show, though. We're talking about that show.
If you're going to put it as the angry black woman. And let's face it, you want to call it that show, but it's a fucking series.
Okay.
Right? In the whole series,
she is kind of like looking like
Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Because in one minute she's like up on the Murdoch, who's the daredevil character, and then next minute she's on Cage, right? And now,
don't amp this shit up.
All right, so let's go into Iron Fist. Let's just touch on Iron Fist.
Enough of this. We've been talking about Luke Cage since forever.
Huh?
Rosario Dawson.
Exactly. She got her start in Kids. She got her start here in New York. They found her on the street corner.
Did you know she's dating Andre?
Who? What?
3000? No, not Andre 3000. No, that would be a fucking
impressive.
Miracle. I would be happy for both of them.
And I will read their books.
The Andre show?
Oh, she's dating him?
Whoa, yes. That dude.
The host? No.
Hold on.
Yes.
That guy's an idiot.
Eric Andre.
I hate his show. His show is retarded.
I don't think he's funny at all.
Like, what is this?
I don't get it.
I never watched it. I'm just like the only person I know.
And why is Hannibal involved?
Who? Why is Hannibal on there?
Oh, no.
Yes. You're not missing anything.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
How is this his headshot?
He's not funny.
They're kind of cute.
How is that his headshot?
Wait, no, but that's kind of cute.
If he was a funnier comedian,
I'm talking about the second one.
Then maybe.
The black and white.
Funny at all.
How is that your headshot?
He's not funny.
He's just weird.
I mean, that's like
he makes her laugh.
He's weird in a bad way too. It's exactly. Like a weird like, he's just a creeper. I can't hit with you. He's weird like staying in your house and never calling you to go out.
Exactly.
Ever.
Like we might have to tase you. Like definitely.
Exactly.
Like, no, for real. Like, if his name is mentioned, bring tasers.
Obviously, he makes her laugh. I mean, that's
the kind of guy who like takes a roll of toilet paper when he visits your house.
Yeah, yeah. He's like one of those. So this all leads up to us talking about Iron Fist. Okay, so Iron Fist. He's the last part of the Defender series, right?
Right.
Yeah. And his story,
which is coming out, I think, this summer.
So the whole setup is that he's a white guy who was rich on a plane that crashed.
Wait, isn't that the storyline? No, seriously, it's the storyline. No.
He's white.
He's white. He's white too.
He's always been white. He's been a rich white man.
So this is like Bruce Wayne.
Do people like Trump like fucking live with like Batman as a potential like and they're like a back pocket option all the time, or are there like people like Trump who are like hanging out always kind of being like, can I get a suit together? Like I got some time next week and I've been really like
I don't know. I mean, it seems like every superhero a lot of them at least
Oliver Queen.
Oliver Queen, Iron Man, who's a classic example. The Bat, of course. But, I mean, Bruce...
My man rules a country.
True. But he doesn't run around, too, flaunting his money. Like, I mean, that's not his thing.
Same thing with Aquaman.
Yes, he's also a prince.
He's a prince. Same thing with, isn't it, like...
You know what comes with being a prince?
She's not rich.
What? A treasury, nigga.
Yeah, rich. Money. Yeah, of course.
So, the whole Iron Fist series is just basically him trying to... Trying to realize that he is the quote-unquote Iron Fist. Of course, another white guy that lands in the middle of nowhere and takes their whole culture and says that he's the best at it, which is what they basically praise him for.
Oh, like The Last Samurai.
Yeah, yeah. So then he comes back. Well, I mean, even though Iron Fist came out way before
the
that.
Oh, Matt Damon.
Is the wall like that?
Yes, yeah, the wall's the same white setup.
Man had to come and save China.
So. He goes to China, and he's like, oh, what have they been fighting? And then
that was weird to have all those, by the way, just like living in New York during like the Trump administration taking over and walking around and seeing all these posters that just said the Great Wall everywhere. It seemed just like propaganda, like so much like propaganda. Like, but like for real, like what a fucking good move. If you're like somebody in this team who's like just slips a word to an exec, like, hey, make a movie about this. And they're like, yeah, let's spit that shit out.
Yeah, because it's a stupid idea. And Matt Damon. Now, people, keep your eyes open. This is Matt Damon playing in a movie about the Great Wall of China being attacked by dragons or demons?
Demons, by demons.
Yeah. 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 And this is Matt Damon.
Don't forget Ronan.
Oh, I haven't seen it. You mean the detective part?
The cop?
With Keanu Reeves? Okay.
Oh, you know, I saw that.
There was a number, though. That was like 27 Ronin or something.
It was a good movie. I can't lie, though.
I like it. Because when you say Ronin, I think of that
movie.
It's got to
be 27 Ronin, right?
From, 27
Ronin
or
something like that.
What was 28 Ronin. What was that movie? Yeah.
29. Some weird odd number.
Where he's the hitman and he takes the little girl.
Oh, fucking the
Professional. The Professional. Ronin had the dude from The Professional.
He looked like he could be his son.
Who?
The Professional. Like that. All right, actor.
Back to Iron Fist.
Wait.
All right, back to that.
It's not that great. Case closed. Let's move on. Netflix. What's next for Netflix? Let's get to Dave Chappelle.
That's what
we're. Is he back? I don't know. I think so. I think he's back on it. My problem is though, a lot of people did not get. I think a lot of people feel like the last thing they ever seen of Dave Chappelle was the Dave Chappelle show.
Yeah.
So they're expecting like this type of skit. That's not it. You don't think so?
No, but like I'm saying, like he's pissing some people off.
Oh no, he's definitely pissing some people off.
But he always was that way.
But this is what.
Have you seen this? You saw the first show, right?
I watched the first one, and I'm
which one was it? The one he talked about his kids or the?
No,
I'm talking about the first one where he was talking about rape, but also
about Cosby. He was going into Cosby and OJ.
That's not even it. The more of the thing is that it's like a really transphobic piece, and Dave Chappelle is someone that people.
He did say that actually.
Dave Chappelle is someone that people listen to, and this is a time when people are trying to when people talk about getting woke, they're talking about a really humanist kind of thing. A thing that is about, like, all people having fucking rights just to be however they are naturally inside themselves, whatever that is. You know, if gender's a performative thing, it's just about how you fit into society, how you fucking feel.
That is true. I mean, this is what I've heard.
So Dave Chappelle to be someone who everyone across the board is universally liked to pop up in this time where, like, Trump is, like, leading the charge against people like that and to lean into that kind of humor just for the sake of the humor.
It was an interesting topic to use as as a joke. Whether his opinion, his opinion is, whatever.
You talking about the Bill Cosby?
No, just talk about the trans topic. Because if you think about it, he wasn't even on it for all that long. It was a short bit. We might have talked about that for like, 10 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
About 10 minutes.
And,
but it was
the way that his joke ended with that, or the way that he ended that bit, it was very dry. Like, kind of like a sword cut. It wasn't like this ease, ha ha ha.
But I don't think it was meant to be like really a joke. I think it was just
the room that came to watch him has gotten a little more educated about that, and they're all not that feeling
younger.
That feeling, like, it's a younger crowd.
But he said it though. He's like, look, I'm 40 something years old. I'm not used to this shit. Like, he said, like, somebody educated him about what it is. And he was like, look, yeah, they have it the hardest.
Yeah, he did say that, actually.
That's fair.
He did say that.
He called it out. Like, it might seem dry as fuck, but it was it was true.
Yeah, that's fair.
There's some type of truth to that.
He said they,
you know what I'm saying? T hardest. Has it the hardest.
Yeah.
Tough road ahead. Like, yeah, yeah. Because it is, because yeah. that's exactly what that it is. Right. It's a mind.
But it is a tough road, yeah.
It's a mental.
It's a whole different change-up.
Exactly.
It's a whole different change-up.
It's funny, because like, from the outside. Or,
do you know what they call that shit in the 70s? They call that identity disorder.
You're right. You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
Gender
identity disorder. Yeah, yeah. I've heard remember of that. That the
I saw a documentary about that.
Yes, they even talk about it with the whole the girl that they made the movie about Boys Don't Cry.
Yes,
exactly.
Which was an amazing movie.
She was diagnosed
with amazing
gender
movie.
Identity
and that's where
disorder.
She got it from. Yeah, you're right. You're
exactly.
Right. You're right.
So let's face it, like reality society views it, or let's say doctors view it as a mental switch up. Or a mental, something that deals with mental play.
Okay. Yeah, but if you talk to the people who are going through that.
And it's not a mental disorder.
Yeah, it's been a thing.
It's not.
It's been a
but
thing.
But it is also mental, especially dealing with other people. When you want to be associated as something that is opposite of your gender, and people have to associate that as you, as that gender,
uh-huh.
They have to mentally switch that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the concept that he's making. There's nothing that's like against it, nothing that's really
right.
Bad.
No, he's saying society has to catch up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I feel like,
society has to catch up.
He was being honest. And then he was being open with his opinion on it. And then that was really what he it felt like it was a quick mention of it. And then he also made a big commentary about our current society, because he was saying how in the 60s, going into the 70s, with the use of LSD, Agent Orange being tested on different soldiers.
He had a line in that I liked, where he talked about how this was the first time they were trying to use it for mind control, but it actually led to mind expanding,
which is what
hallucinogens are. They allow you to divorce yourself from your ego, and you, for the first time, can observe yourself from the outside and understand what it is to be human.
And you make a whole new connection within your brain system, which is a fact that you can make new connections mentally within your own, like, the actual structure of your brain all the time.
Neurons.
So now imagine you're now doing something that's like a sudden change. But it's so expansive, you know, where you're seeing colors, you're seeing ideas.
It's a new way
of thought.
New
perceptions. That's incredible. And he said, now that was that culture. He goes, but now this one here, ours, like this generation, the one after us and so forth, are the ones that are just like the I don't give a fuck generation, as he put it. He said, because there's so much happening all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you never have a moment to look and feel for that moment. He was saying how, you know, when all the black men were being shot, all these young black guys were being shot, he said, you know, I would sit there and I'd be reading about one, and then I get a message about three others.
Yeah.
And he's like, I never even had a moment to grieve over that first one.
You would lose track. It was like being in a haze these past couple
of years. Who got there? Gardner? No.
How crazy is that?
And you just start naming people, and you're like, no.
I remember when Orlando happened. I it took me a full fucking day to realize how big of a deal that was. The shooting down there.
Yeah. No, there was also another shooting in, Chicago.
Of course there was!
So...
What? Yeah. You could tell me there was one tomorrow.
Yeah. And it's crazy, because I feel like with the Trump era, everything happening all at once, it's like we're walking in some haze.
No.
Like a straight fog, you know what I mean? Where
people make money and
it's
other
interesting.
People die.
No, I like... This is something that is interesting, though. Mm. It's really just been nothing but exposure. Ever since Trump got into office...
His brand is
the veil has opened. Like you now see the man behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Or the people behind the curtain. It's hilarious. The Wizard of Oz has completely become
the Wizard of Oz wanders around the White House. Like he wanders around
ridiculous.
The yellow brick road in his fucking bathrobe.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, yeah. You now know who's talking to Russia. You now people are getting sloppy with their
it's
shit.
It's about to get rough. It's about to get real rough.
It's oh no, they blocked
real rough. It's about to get WWE. The shit that happened a few days ago.
Hang on. I promise you folks, this will be very brief. This isn't even about Trump talk.
We're running into different countries just blatantly and just like no explanation.
This isn't even about Trump. This has to do with Yates, the former.
Oh, Sally Yates. Sally Yates. I got a picture of her on my wall.
They blocked her from testifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
And then not only did they block her, but now the dude,
goddamn American hero,
the dude, he canceled the hearing.
Interesting. Yeah. So they blocked her and they canceled it.
Did you hear about the six Russian
lawyer notified the White House that she was going to speak about everything, but she wasn't going to speak about anything classified. But up until that point, she was saying everything.
Holy crap.
Yeah. And they notify the White House and they say, if you do not tell us anything, we're going to move forward with her testimony the way it is.
That's why.
And then all of a sudden, the meeting got canceled. God,
yo. And did you hear about the, like, it was like six or like seven Russian,
with subs?
No, delegates.
All the Russian people. Representatives, like, every fucking day.
No.
They're having accidents.
No. Two died in New York. Supposedly heart attack.
Both of them.
Yeah.
I ran over
security
one of
was
right
cut
here.
like the day before and shit like that. What do you call it? People who come to the country.
I saw a delegate.
It was like six Russian delegates within like a 3 month span.
Died.
Like mysteriously, all from like heart attacks. And
yeah,
like,
you know, like supposed
shit.
Natural.
There was a Russian delegate hanging.
No one ever argues about like a heart attack. Like, yeah,
no,
you got 20
year olds in the news, you know? Like that.
Bullshit,
you know what
man.
I'm saying?
I'm telling
like,
you,
it's like a weird day before.
No, but this is like a weird time in the U.S. You can open any closet and just find a Russian delegate hanging from a noose. Just like
very possible.
That's what it's like to live here.
You go rent an apartment. It's a body in there.
I rent Russian delegates. My
is like the mafia now.
My cab ran over one on the way here. He was pushed right in front of us. It was strange.
It's dark.
You just keep moving.
And then Trump waved. No, I'm kidding. That was not Trump. I would not say that about our president.
I think about people who are afraid to live here. I can't fucking imagine the fear of like living in Russia right now. If you are one of those people,
Putin,
if you're anybody working in the administration right now, that's terrifying. That's what happens when you see people in this.
I'd quit. Like I'm gonna go.
And you hear about this whole coal situation?
Right,
no.
And the first delegate that just mysteriously dies, I'm out of town.
Oh yes, right. Yes.
Promise ourselves. What did you say?
Save
that for the next show.
Situation.
I need to be ready for that kind of conversation.
Gave up politics for podcast Lent.
Homeboy promised people that they would go back into work.
We
were
acknowledging our sins.
Slowly going out of business.
And clearing our
conscience. And they shut down everything that Obama had.
Okay.
Shut down Obama.
We'll talk about this later.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that later. All right. Let's dive into our next quick topic. Yes. Is Logan. Logan.
I love that.
Yo.
Have you all seen Logan?
Yo.
Yes.
Yo.
Okay. All right. Let's go around properly in order.
Nephew.
Ash,
yep.
First.
Yep.
What did you think in a couple of seconds? Tell me.
Show was amazing. The movie was amazing.
That's it.
Movie was amazing. Point blank.
Period.
I could have. Well, we'll get
into
it.
Okay. So I'm going to tell you. Opinion in a few seconds. Luel, drop it. LV. All right.
I tell my nephew. It was 3 hours of fucking awesomeness and just straight up violence.
Okay.
I was upset that there was no like little trailer thing at the
very end. Okay.
No, there's
a reason
for that.
I can understand that. But I even got a little teary eyed. So,
all right,
move on.
All right, Tony.
Fucking emotionally soul crushing and like taught me a lot about like aging and shit like that and my like fears and also just the scene where she comes out with the guy's head.
Ooh.
It's just
for that alone,
even if the rest of the movie sucks, like how some of the X-Men movies just fucking suck, but there's like some great stuff.
No, because they made this rated R. This is the only rated R X-Men.
And I think that's what helped it a lot. I thought Logan was incredible. I would not sit around and say that it was the best. There are tons of things that I thought could have been done a lot better.
Is it the best X-Men movie yet?
Yes. No, I take that back.
I think so.
X-Men First Class, I think, is the best X-Men movie.
First Class.
Oh. I can't.
You think so?
Shaw is hands down the best villain that I've seen in an X-Men movie.
Shaw.
Yes.
Kevin Bacon.
Well, and that reboot delivers on the promise that the first
X-Men. No, what about Future Past?
That's the only reason why.
The first X-Men.
That's the only reason why everyone loved it, because it was so much better than the other X-Men.
First of all, how are you dating in like the 60s and got robots that can fly on their own and shit? But the timeline was too off. Because the government would never drop something like that. Be like, we have tech that's like this far advanced. I think like they like to drop it in little by little. Huh?
Wasn't it like that in a comic
book? No. I mean, granted, it was still like, because the comic book was written in that time frame, it still made use of like a world where it was clearly in the 60s and 70s, but the whole universe was written in this high tech world. It wasn't as far back.
I'm trying to think back to the 90s X-Men that we got coming up. That's going to be fucking.
Wait, what?
What? They've just been moving through the decades, dude. They've been like.
Oh, I see what you mean. So yeah, you're right. This one coming up with the Scott with the yellow band and all that.
It's gotta be coming up soon.
I see what he's arguing.
It's gonna be so.
Because if you think about it, he's actually kind of right. Because we went to like. No, I think we had a 90s X-Men.
We just did 80s.
No, you mean like in this reboot though?
Yeah, in the reboot.
Okay, yeah.
All right, so.
I think that's what it is.
It is a reboot, technically.
My only problem.
So what's your negative, Ash?
Was the end. Okay.
Which part?
His death.
Oh, okay. Spoiler alert. For those who don't know, Logan dies. There you go.
The last fucking Logan.
If you're listening to this right now,
No,
if you're upset about that, fuck you.
All right. So I wasn't mad that he died. I was mad in the way that he died.
What was the specific?
Because.
Spoiler.
In the comics,
he dies like that, doesn't he?
No, he dies like that several times. Tree. Except they pull out whatever's stuck there and he heals over time. But he heals, so he doesn't die.
Right? But is he buried?
Buried. No. Like those times, he's like out. There's one time when he gets stabbed in his skull, and he drops. And then someone comes around later, like a profiteer, and they take the sword out because they want the sword. They keep it moving, and he heals in like a day or two.
Right.
You know, because everything had slowed down.
So you're saying you wish they had done that linger thing where it's like, of course he's still alive or whatever.
Well, see, I felt they covered that in that fan-made joint for Deadpool 2, but I'll get to that.
Which I haven't seen yet.
Oh, but, yeah, definitely. Like,
well, but does that count because it's fan-made?
What do you mean?
Yeah, it's fan-made. Oh, okay. But at least they saw my point, I feel like.
Right.
Because, you know, he's died, they buried him, they walked away.
Yeah.
But that's not the end.
No, because if you take the shit out, he's gonna heal. It'll take a long time.
Don't forget, he has the
antimanium.
Yeah.
So you feel like the poison of the antimanium.
That's why he was.
It's like wood, and then on top of this huge injury, he's basically done.
Remember, he wasn't healing fast.
Yeah,
he was still healing.
He was still healing. So it would have taken. You just
said it. He wasn't healing as fast, but he was still healing.
I think
it would take like maybe 100 years.
No, but
it would take like a decade or two.
It's like that fucking Superman doomsday shit. Like, he's just like gone for a while, and then
the sun's radiation
slowly starts beating again.
Because he gets his power from the sun's radiation.
Superman. It's like that. It's like that where he just like slowly starts moving.
He fucking died, and then he comes back.
But I mean, why can't Wolverine fucking die?
Because of the sun hit. Like, he has to be under the sun a long period of time.
Deadpool walks up to the grave, and he has like a little note, and he has a syringe jam packed of that green liquid.
He stabs it in there.
So he was gonna stab it in there. He just walks away. He's like, "Nah, I think I'll go revive Francis and kill him a couple more times." But my thing is, yo, the other one, the clone of Wolverine, X-24.
Yeah, 25.
25. He was in the same big ass thing, and that long ass truck didn't blow up. It just flipped.
Okay.
It's like, why couldn't your little narrow ass saying, "Daddy, go inside the truck, get some of that green liquid, and stab him up."
I see what you mean. Yeah, exactly. Force him to like take it. You know what I'm saying? Because he didn't want to take any more because it makes you a little crazy.
Yeah, but it accelerates his healing.
I think he was ready to go.
Yeah. That's what I think.
Yeah, he was.
That's what I think it comes down to.
This is why I'm not.
He was done, and this is the perfect time to leave. You know,
this is why I'm not mad. This is why I don't think you should be mad. Is because
about that.
Just for the sake of like movie Wolverine being different from cartoon Wolverine. This is Hugh Jackman.
No, so I knew that he wanted to.
It gives him. It gives the actual person.
Yeah. So I understood why they did it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I like the way that it happened.
Yeah.
But to me, it was just like, you know, if they ever want to revive this
word, which they can do, Yeah, whether he died or not.
Have something like that happen. Yeah. Or have him dig his way out after.
That's what made it. But it's not going to be Jackman.
Hugh Jackman doesn't want to do him anymore.
Yeah. He said that if Marvel gets the title back, he would not mind revisiting Logan again. That's
bullshit. Shut the fuck
that's
up.
Bullshit. Google for real, for real?
For real, for real.
No.
The thing this that, was supposed no. to be. Don't do no. it, Jason.
Marvel, get it.
No, the thing that made it magical was the fact that, yeah, he, you could tell he accepted his, he wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do it because he was too busy taking care of Professor.
Professor X, yes. And when he died,
and then,
was one responsibility yeah, gone.
That was one responsibility
and this
gone.
Kid is going to be fine. Clearly,
and then he was, but no. But then he felt like he had unfinished business.
Okay,
and then that's what, okay. but like, and that's what brought the human side out of it. That's what, like, because it's like you're so used to seeing him,
because
being just reckless,
Professor X
but
was
never
just
seen him dealing
preaching
with a kid
to this dude
other than
about family, family, Rose, family. Right. This exactly. is your last exactly. chance.
The
but
whole
think about
movie
it.
Is
think about
family.
If you get rid of like most of like, actually, you know what? No, if you keep the Wolverine movie in mind and kind of get rid of like the other X-Men and shit like that, it will kind of like go perfect.
If I may say something, what disappointed me about this movie was that a whole black family died.
That was a decision.
That was Professor X's fault.
That kind of made me upset.
That was a casting director's fault.
Thank you, Tony. I was like, no.
That wasn't a Professor X. This is like when my uncle plays the whole video game.
And there was the only black people in the movie.
That's not Professor X's.
Oh, the fat black kid.
I thought it was
who got
and
caught.
I remember that.
His little fat ass felon and
little fat ass fat fuck.
He was a static shot.
So
that's Black Lightning. So
that's
Black Lightning. That's Black Lightning.
No, that's not Black
that's
Lightning.
That's little Black
it is
Lightning.
It's Black Lightning. If you didn't think about it, because he had electricity.
That's Black Lightning.
So he's gonna lose weight at some point.
He can't be Static Shock.
No, he's not Black Lightning. He's Black Lightning.
No, yeah, because Static Shock is DC.
Why didn't they fucking?
That shit.
You know, give the ability to give powers to people in this thing. The institution or whatever that was like breeding all these kids. If they had the ability to give powers to people, why the fuck weren't they giving them to their guards?
No. See, the thing is, they needed to cultivate it.
Yeah.
They needed to indoctrinate and brainwash.
So they had to be able to grow them.
That's my only thing with like movies like this. Like I love this film. I thought it was like an incredible. I thought it was one of the more film versions of like an X-Men movie.
Okay.
Like it was just a film. But like my whole thing whenever I go to see an X-Men movie, the thing that always makes it like the most for me is when I get to leave with just a lot of access to a lot of time with mutants who are doing a bunch of cool shit.
Yeah.
That's why like the First Class and stuff like that is so great because
you get
a really clear clear picture of a bunch of mutants doing a bunch of stuff. And like when I was a kid, that was the thing that like
was
so enchanting. My parents like had me play soccer, and instead of playing soccer, I just ran around the field with my eyes closed pretending I was Iceman, and that was the best part about soccer for the whole fucking 3 years.
Yeah.
That was the best.
He's like, not pretend just to be Iceman.
Most of elementary school. Like, I remember getting like yelled at by a teacher because I was just outside on the playground screaming because I was trying to be Banshee and lift myself up into the air. But like,
who
don't know until you try.
Who are you shooting, Tony?
You don't know until you try it. Maybe these people are
shooting ice. There's no fucking ice,
use
Tony!
Your hands. No, that's where the ice comes from!
Kick the goddamn ball!
It's fucking July, Tony!
But no, I feel you though. I mean, that's what made those great. And I think making it rated R was a brilliant idea.
Oh.
Daredevil.
Them
but
having
the Deadpool movies
that
made
little girl
movie,
that, yeah.
rather,
oh.
made that be it. It made that
Yo,
clear.
The,
and the girl. And I thought that should be the worst part. I was not happy about this idea.
Wait, can I have a second to promote something real quick? how you pronounce
it? Atchison?
American Oak?
Yep.
It's a scotch and whiskey blend. This shit is amazing.
So it's pronounced Atchison?
You have to keep on swirling it because apparently the vanilla settles at the bottom. Amazing!
Luel was enjoying himself a blended scotch. So, if you ever get a chance, it was $30. It's worth it.
There was a really cool thing in this film where they finally acknowledged the existence of the comic books in the first place.
Yes!
That was my favorite.
Yeah. Wow, yes, good observation.
That was my favorite
comic. He's like, yo, this isn't how it went.
And he's like, this is garbage. It's not real.
But when you're a kid and you read those, that actually fulfills like a childhood fantasy of thinking of those
totally.
As like a real account. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like
it
when you like wish the Hardy Boys were like, you're like, this is nonfiction. Like,
now, and maybe you felt this too, Tony. Didn't him saying that make you feel how real it felt at that moment to hear Wolverine, okay, say to a kid in this movie that's present day based, that's like futuristic based at least enough, These aren't real. This isn't
what happened. I saw this. Don't forget, it was 2029.
But no, check this. It was real enough for them to actually have a little base at the coordinates.
But
I
saw this on, like, a trip home where I had to, like, acknowledge what an asshole I've been my whole life and divorce a lot of parts of my childhood. And, like, so like, watching that shit, that was, like, having like, actual Wolverine say to me, like, while I'm sitting next to my dad and sister on a, like 24 this Wolverine happen, tell me, like, your childhood is fucking over, motherfucker. Like, that... It's when the TV's talking to you and you're worried that you're gonna turn into like the Craigslist killer, that kind of thing. One of those. That was a moment. That was a moment with me in this movie that needed to, I'm glad that passed.
I just loved that realism in the film, and
it was in a way
that was crushing.
In a way, it was real.
He was a drug.
Because
I mean, now he can enjoy liquor. There. Before so, he couldn't, because like, the liver was
having.
You know, I think he has to drink a lot to feel that. But now here he is in his old age, dude's passing out the back of the limo. Clearly been drinking.
Wolverine is like a terrible hero to love as a child because he's such a substance abusing. Yep.
He does. He's a junkie. He's an addict.
I'm nervous about the beer that I'm drinking right now. Like,
I'm telling you. I mean,
I know a lot about Wolverine. That's why. Yeah. What does that say?
They should do a movie about.
I wonder if like a lot of alcoholics in
teenage years.
A young Wolverine.
Origins type Wolverine?
Yeah. I mean, well, when did he get his power?
With the bone claws?
He was born with it.
No. His healing factor didn't kick. Until he was like 12 or 13.
But that's what happens for all of them. It's always when they're like...
So now imagine... Yeah, so maybe a movie, but you know what? It'd be boring because it's colonial times.
That's what they did. They did that. They fucking did that.
They did that in the beginning of Wolverine.
Yeah, there's
no one cares about that movie.
No one
that
cares.
That movie,
because they went from running to fighting, running was in a charge.
The whole fucking film was a disaster.
It would have been good if it like the ending was different.
No. How are you taller than Sabretooth? He's taller than Sabretooth. He's like at least an inch taller. Dude.
In the movie, he is.
With Shriver?
It's Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman's like 6'2".
Wait, the guy who played...
Yeah, he was on the Chicago Bulls.
He's tall.
The guy who plays Ray Donovan.
Yeah, Shriver. I forgot his first name.
He's way bigger than Hugh Jackman. No, he's not.
He's like 5'4".
You look at that, he's a scrappy Sabretooth.
This version of Sabretooth is...
He's a scrappy?
A scrappy.
A scrappy.
He's a great actor.
Wait. First of all,
if you follow the comics, there's two different Sabretooth.
Brothers?
Are they even brothers?
Sabretooth and
the clear-minded logical Sabretooth? And then there's just
Rage. But is Rage taller?
No, they were both the same size, except you see Rage Sabretooth in the first X-Men.
Rage? Oh, like when he's an animal.
Yeah, that's true.
That's, yes.
But there's no distinction in
but see,
in the new one.
That's both of them. Because when he first left the Weapon X project, he was feral.
Wolverine, yeah.
But he's fucking, I don't know, he doesn't change at all.
Wolverine's size?
No, he doesn't grow.
No, I'm just saying, you know, there's two different...
Right, oh, yeah.
And so Shriver was playing the
logical... But he was always big. I mean, he was always
a monster.
Larger than Wolverine. That's why Wolverine is called fucking Wolverine.
No, because from the first...
That's the idea, because Wolverine is really... And the comic's like 5'8".
He's like a little spider monkey.
Wolverine is like 5'8".
Yeah.
No. In the comic, he's under 6.
He's under 6 feet.
Because
I thought Wolverine was shorter than 5'8".
He might be shorter. Maybe he's 5'6".
No,
but,
I think
he's a short dude. And Sabretooth is like 6'5". 6'6". Sabretooth is a big ass dude.
But like also Thor is 8 feet tall or whatever. Like,
but he's a god. So it's like...
How
tall is Storm? How tall is Storm?
Storm
is like
5'10"?
Like 5'10", yeah, probably.
Yeah, she's a goddess. She's not even a fucking...
But it has nothing to do with height. I mean, you could be a short god or goddess.
Yeah.
The whole thing is that in a comic book, what made that battle...
Wolverine. Told you, Wolverine is 5'3".
And what
I
made...
Hugh
Jackman is 6'3".
What made that battle between Wolverine and Sabretooth great to read and see on the X-Men cartoons and play with your toys is because Sabretooth was always bigger.
Yeah.
Wolverine was always supposed to be like, I'm short, and people pick on me, it's cool. Yes, always, constant. It's a constant battle of David Goliath who can't die, but like, constantly heal, you know?
They have to, because like, the thing is, like, Sabretooth cannot be...
Sabretooth, the character.
Was what?
Is 6'6". Almost 400 pounds.
Yeah.
Sabretooth can't be a cooler superhero, but he does have to have an obvious advantage to make him like.
That's the point of him being a villain. Like, it's like there's a reason why you're my constant villain.
Oh shit!
And you being the same fucking size as me is not one of those fucking reasons. Because like, I'm gonna beat your ass. I'm the guy who stabbed Jean Grey, nigga, as a phoenix. So I ain't scared of you.
Stupid.
I mean, that's what kind of ruined it. And Apocalypse, oh, I didn't want to go into that.
Wait, how many times have you watched it?
I raped twice. Once. Okay. I hated it both times.
I rewatched it recently. I didn't have as bad of a time the second time.
Are you in?
I didn't say it was good.
Regardless, the fact that you say as bad means that there was an improvement. And there should be no improvement in this film. There's a constant decline into the hell of terribleness.
I think this was the first time I made it all the way through. The first three times I tried to watch it, I fell asleep every time. This was the first time I watched the whole thing. I think I was just kind of excited to like see the whole movie.
Basically, it was the Magneto movie. It wasn't Apocalypse. Yeah. It was the Magneto movie.
No, but
Apocalypse sucked.
But I wish, to be honest with you, I really don't remember that.
He was too white for me, man. This dude is from Egypt. Apocalypse is a goddamn Egyptian. He should not be speaking British English all the time.
Please
he should
give
be
me a
speaking.
Well,
you know
a dialect.
How they do. You know how they do film. Like you know how like anything that's ancient automatically ends up with the UK.
Okay, yo, I was pissed.
If that's insulting, any Cleopatra, any like,
yes, they are
like Moses. Movie,
yes, the gods of Egypt movie insulting.
Gods of.
People let's not get into God.
Yeah, I mean, let's not get into that it.
Shit
I mean,
disgusting.
Oh, I don't know. I know what we're not going to talk about that.
Get out. Let's hit get out before we end the podcast.
Yeah, so let's get into get out. We got 10 minutes.
Get out.
Let's talk about Get Out. Who's seen it? What do you think?
I haven't, and I know I need to. I understand that's an important
thing. Thank you, sir. Tony has.
Are
you interested in seeing
it? It occurs to me that this is a cultural timepiece that I cannot miss because it's important in the national dialogue. That's how this
listen to these two different comments. Tony here on my left is like, Mike, I gotta see it. I know it's a cultural film
I can appreciate
like,
no
a whole
I
beginning
I,
of
no
something
I just
different.
Know I just know it's gonna help educate my point of view. I know it's I know it's a point of view that I need to see in order to stay woke. That's like.
And to my right, we got my boy Ash. Being like, if that shit's free, I'll watch it.
I watched it, and I was disappointed in this and Get Out.
But go ahead.
I'll wait till it's free. I mean, I understand the viewpoint where it's coming from. I understand how it impacts us.
You didn't see
it.
I need to know how disappointed Mike, though.
You know, I don't need to see it to get that. I understand it.
Okay.
Now, as a movie in itself, horror is not my thing.
So that's why you want to see it, and I feel both of these things, but I also feel like
you kind of have a peripheral understanding of like what it is. You're like, I have a feeling I know what this is, but every time I go into it, it's always something different. So I can't dismiss it offhand.
No, I'm not dismissing it.
Let me tell you why. All right, so
please
explain
yourself.
So I too saw Get Out.
Are you going to do the Morgan Freeman explanation?
No.
Okay.
What's the Morgan Freeman explanation?
We'll get to that after.
And all right, first let me point these two things out. I saw Moonlight, and I've seen Get Out.
Oh, can we talk about Moonlight for a second?
Okay. All right. And Moonlight, to me, again, is a movie that gets the level of praise that it does not deserve.
Damn.
Okay. I thought it was good. Okay. I enjoyed it. Would I buy it on
So
on
you're
DVD?
Saying La La Land should have won the award.
But I don't buy it. I love La La Land, but let's not even get into that. So, Moonlight.
Would I buy it on DVD?
I buy it, yes, but...
I would not buy it on DVD.
See? Now, what did I like?
2017!
What did I like about it?
I wouldn't keep it.
Criterion
Collection?
I thought it was a good movie as far as touching upon key things that affect the black community, especially the poor black community. So we're talking about homosexuality, like the lack of
community
of proper education and
but it's different when you're poor.
Yeah, of course, of course. I mean, like when I say
everything's different when you're poor.
Exactly. So it's a whole different concept. So it touched on many different things that I thought really worked, but when it came down to just the film itself as a film, just really looking at it as a movie. As a production.
Production-wise?
Not, I mean, production as the writing and just the basic overall direction that it went. Yeah. Terrible choice. Blue, and the Oscars are an testament to this, okay? All right? Now, I'm not a fan of the Oscars, but okay, let's get this clear.
The Oscars are
such a joke. If your co-star, okay, your supporting actor gets nominated and wins an award, and your main star gets nothing, not even a nomination, not even like an acknowledgement, an honorable mention. It says that you've invested too much time into the other character. Blue, who's the second character, who's the co-starring character, the stealer of that movie.
Yes,
because all you want to know when, you know, I'm not going to say what happens.
Teenage version of him.
No. That's Black. That's Black. Blue. Black. Blue is the man who took Black in.
Oh, okay.
Character is who I've completely admired, and I felt like they should have delved more into his character. Cotton. Because when he disappears, for whatever reason from the film, there's never an explanation of why or how.
No, they explain.
No, it's very brief.
He said he died.
Shush.
That's a mediocre explanation for a man who we knew... sold drugs to Black's mother, who was in the hood. And mind you, folks, we're not talking about regular, like a calm type hood. We're talking about one of the hoods that have always been considered really gritty down in Florida. So Dade County, to be exact. Tony has his hand up. Give me a moment.
I have a question for you.
What is your question?
No, go. All right. Keep going.
So it just bothered me. And also, if you look at their actual names, which I thought was fascinating.
You know it's based on a true story.
Black and Blue?
Yeah, Bruce.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, this is so clever. You're so clever. But Blue was the person that they should have investigated more. He's a drug-dealing Black man in Dade County, a very masculine, macho type of group that he runs with, whatever. But here he is raising, or becomes friends with, rather, this young Black boy... who is dealing with his sexuality.
Can I talk about...
How do you approach that?
Can I talk about why that's important? Can I talk about why that... Like, the fact that that is not... That didn't happen the way you wanted it to is important.
Go ahead.
Like the reason this people are responding to this film the way people are responding to this film, there are not a lot of popular movies about... There are not a lot of big Hollywood movies about being Black and being gay. That doesn't really fucking happen.
You mean Tyler Perry doesn't count?
Doesn't count.
Medea doesn't count.
No. But honest portrayals. Yeah, for real. honest portrayals, okay. That doesn't happen. What's happening, what you're watching, when somebody just disappears like that, like narratively, or what it sounds like to me, because I haven't seen this, but what you're talking about.
Yeah, you're
presented with two characters. You're presented with somebody who's dealing with a very stereotypical Black story that you see a lot on television and in film and all the time, and that's the only fucking role you ever see Black people in. And then you're presented with a different character who... has a different story that you never get to see Black people experience, and so Black people who are experiencing it don't get to see themselves on the screen in that way, and you actually get to a film that presents a conscious choice where it's like, okay, we're going to tell you a story, and you watch the beginning of it, and you think, okay, it's going to be the same old shit, and then instead it says, no, but I'm going to take your hand, and I'm going to take it over here, and I'm going to point you towards something else, because this is happening too, and this is a real part of America too. Part of seeing yourself on screen is feeling acknowledged and feeling like you have a sense to really exist, and so what that does is... Not only does it do it, but it also sort of like does that sleight of hand that leads more people to watch this film than necessarily would. I had a friend, we have a friend at work who went to see it because he thought it was going to be this great gangster thing. And then he was like, yeah, but it really like made me think. And it like, it was not what I thought it was going to be. And it really like, changed.
And I appreciate that. But to me, that's where it was lacking. Because what's a huge conversation that's never really addressed within the Black male community is fatherhood. And in this movie, one of the big things that it touched on was Blue being a father, a gangster, but a father figure. Because this boy had none to this young man who's a young Black boy trying to deal with his sexuality, but also has no no parent. His mother was a crackhead. So who he sold crack to. So it's this dude. That's real. Because there's people who have kids who sell drugs to their kids' parents or friends or uncles and don't know. And this is, and I feel like that's also a conversation. What killed me about this movie wasn't because of its topics. I thought its topics were brilliant, were great, and should have been explored. But it's because it tried to do too many things at once. It was like, oh, look at me. I'm talking about this and this and this. But it made no closure on any of them.
On
it ended with no anything.
There was like no closure on
when I left it. I felt nothing. I thought nothing except for all the things that were wrong. And that's where a movie fails. I'm not saying that it should make you leave out with a different point of view. No. What it should do is make you think.
No,
and if I leave out it, all I'm thinking is how bad it is.
You can say the same thing about the movie Doubt. Doubt had no closure.
That's the point.
Same thing for No Country for Old Men.
That was a brilliant movie. And it didn't have closure.
It had bad closure, dude.
You vomit?
Dude rolled away in a fucking broken arm. You don't know what happened to the.
Is that a cultural film?
Huh?
No. Oh, it's not. But it's funny how clearly.
At this point,
clearly how Get Out
and
Moonlight are cultural films, my dude.
First of all, I view Moonlight as like as not about like a whole gay thing or like the whole homosexuality within the black culture. I viewed it as fatherhood. I viewed it as yes. And don't forget the. Once I got it in my head that the writer and director was the guy who played Black at the end.
Okay.
I was like, all right, this makes sense. This is his story, right? I didn't care about that. Is he gay? Yes, he is.
That's interesting. Okay, exactly. So that changes a view.
Again, I didn't care about that.
I still don't think it was made right.
I know. I get a better appreciation.
You sound like I sound telling his story.
But to me, it wasn't like about that.
Writing school, though, because I would always stick more to like structure rules than I would to like new shapes of stories. Like I think. I don't know.
I don't have a problem with the shape of the story because there's many films that I enjoy that are very awkward and made.
It wasn't about that. It's just that I feel like as African American,
certain like when we get a chance to make a movie. That stars us.
Mm-hmm.
We need to complete that and just don't overdo it. I feel like tapping into the gang, tapping into this. These are all real topics.
Yeah.
But focus on something that's more pivotal because even in the movie, no one cared about Black. Everybody that I talked to, and I talked to a lot of people who've seen it.
Yeah, it's not his movie.
They don't talk about Black. It's Blue. Yeah. But Blue disappears after like 15 minutes.
No. That's
you know what I'm saying. And that's what's insane is that the man that everybody was like, why
did he
readily
before?
Accept this kid's sexuality like that when his whole gang thing is different?
No.
Like play into that. Tell us. Explain.
But that's the thing, though. It shows the whole thing happens right there at that dinner table.
No, that's not enough.
That's not enough
because that could be just emotion. That could be just his fatherly like love to be like, you know what?
No. You're right. There was no fatherly love yet. There was no fatherly love.
Let's be real. Which one? The one with
the drugs? I'm talking about the one where he goes,
that's a fag. Tony's just like, fuck y'all.
Spoiler.
I'm sorry. Spoiler. But like, yeah, it comes down to the question where the kid says, and this is a child. Let's not forget that. This is a child.
Okay.
Right? And he's saying, what's a fag? Right, and he goes, this is something that you would say to somebody who's gay, but it's something you use to hurt somebody.
He's like, what if I am a faggot?
Yeah. Right, yeah, and he's like, what if I am a faggot? Right, and right at that moment, he tries to be like, wait, hold up, I hope you're not, like any father would. But then Janelle Monáe's character steps in. So let's be real. It's not Blue who takes care of him. It's Janelle Monáe's character who takes care of him.
It's Blue who molds him. Because remember that scene in the ocean?
So Get Out was really crazy.
When he's holding him, right? He's holding him in the ocean. And his words to him are, because they're on a beach. He goes to the ocean. He asks his Black if he knows how to swim. He's a little kid. And Black course like, nah, da da da. He goes, okay, I'm going to show you. They go out to a certain part of the ocean where Blue can still stand in it, obviously, as an adult. But be able to also safely hold Black. And he tells him, don't worry, I got you. Come, I got you. For a Black man to hear that from a black boy, to hear that from a black man who's not his father.
Yeah.
I got you. His mother's a crackhead, doesn't give a shit about him, has guys over there that she fucks with, whatever, and she's getting high.
A prostitute, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No, she wasn't a prostitute. She had a good job. No, she was a nurse.
She ran tricks for her shit.
Yeah, later on, when she started itching for it, like when it got really bad. But initially, she was just a nurse. But I think that scene, like that said a lot. And I feel like they could have played a lot more on that and explained that. But we dived into Moonlight when we meant to talk about Get Out. Let's get back to Get Out. So Get Out, a movie by, is it Keegan-Michael Peele?
No,
it's just one of
Jordan.
Them. Jordan Peele.
Jordan Peele, exactly. One of the guys from Mad TV and Keegan-Peele.
No.
He wasn't Mad TV.
No, he wasn't.
SNL.
He was in SNL?
I think so.
Oh, so then there was the bald one
was in Mad TV.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, Peele was in...
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. He was the angry. Oh yeah, shit. He was the only person on Mad TV that I thought was funny. He was the gym coach who would get all pissed off and like break his.
He was at the very end of Mad TV.
Right. He would like threaten kids during assemblies.
So he makes this movie. It's called Get Out. It's about a black guy that's in an interracial relationship with a white woman. He's invited to go upstate to her parents' home for a nice getaway. Takes her upstate. And dun dun dun, things are not as they seem.
How long has this been a thing?
Yeah, no, scenes like that, words like that. Now, for those who have not seen it, shame on you. I will not ruin it for you. No, maybe I will ruin it for you. So, first of all, the black guy lives. Okay. The black guy lives.
It's a good thing you didn't talk about three movies.
No.
The black guy lives. What do you mean, no?
I'm not ruining shit for anybody. All right?
Look, that's...
I'm telling you the basis.
You know what? That is a positive. So I'm going to say that shit right now. A black man lived in this movie.
You know who lived first? LL Cool J. Deep Blue Sea.
You right. No, because right. who... Because we had to die for him.
Guys, we're getting...
Doesn't matter. He lived.
Yo. Let's not diverge. All right.
The first black man in the movie.
For those who did not see Get Out... Get Out is about an interracial couple, right? Black male, white female. And it's the first time that the guy gets to meet the parents. And, of course, he feels uncomfortable because it's out of town. And it's in a neighborhood where it's like nothing but white people. And there's a twist to it, right? They are kidnapping black people and they're using them for God knows what reason. Boom, 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 da da da, blah, blah, blah. Right? So, throughout the film, you'll find like little things that actually happen in real life. And like, it's basically an over exaggeration of how. Some minorities may feel in crowded situations around
can I
white people.
All right, I got you.
Yes.
I got you on this. Maybe you've seen this movie.
There is a...
Cabin Fever.
With
Ryder Strong.
No.
I think that was the only movie he ever did.
Sounds like a porn star name.
No, the dude from Boy Meets World.
Ryder Strong.
With the Sean's friend.
I don't give a shit where he's from.
Yeah,
Sean,
yeah.
I think
yeah.
his name
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I remember.
Okay. Wait, Sean from Boy Meets World, his name is Ryder Strong?
Yes.
Is he a porn star? Because I'll watch that.
No. I don't know. But...
I'll watch that tonight.
So, he makes this movie, right? Where it's like they're in a cabin out in the woods and they catch some fucking monkey type outbreak shit.
Yeah, it's like some right? Ebola.
But this shit had me dying because they stop at this sort of like redneck backwoods bodega.
always there.
And there's a shotgun where the dude behind the counter is just hanging there.
It's a checkoff thing.
Yeah. And so the guy's like, oh, what's the deal with the shotgun? And the proprietor, who's this redneck dude, goes, that's for my nigga. Oh, that's for my nigga. So they're like, oh my God, what's your nigga? You know, they were all offended by this shit. But at the very end of the movie, this fucking Lincoln rolls up with spinners. You know, this group of black guy gets out. They walk in and like everyone's like this, like real tight. And he walks up to the owner. And all of a sudden, he's just calls the guy, what up, my nigga? He's like, yo, I got your shotgun for you, bro. It was hilarious.
No, it's not that type
of movie. It's about Cabin Fever?
Yeah.
You mean the STD movie?
But it's not that type of humor. It's not that type of humor whatsoever.
It's an advertisement for condoms, man.
That's exactly what that is. But it's not that type of humor.
No, I'm trying to explain the scene.
The movie was crazy.
I'm trying to explain the scene in Get Out where, like, he's over at the house and it's like the silent auction.
Yes, yes. Right? And he's not around at all.
He's not around for it, but they're having an auction on him. Kind of like the slave trade.
But
it was mainly like the conversation that happens. And I was trying to say that this is something that actually happens.
Well, we have this thing in DC, right?
And it happens every day for any black person in the workforce. Oh. Like these type of comments that happen.
Yeah.
Like, oh, like, is it you? Or, hopefully I won't tan as, I'm almost as dark as you.
Black is in.
Yeah, exactly. We all know black is in. Yeah.
So, all right. So you know what? Because Tony and Ash
haven't seen it yet,
we really can't talk about it the way that I want. Ooh, I really want to say something about it, but I'm not.
The bathroom for half an hour. But
yeah, I'm gonna look up that video.
No,
it was like
Ryder Strong.
We've come to the end of our show for today. It was great to be back. We haven't been back on in a while. Again, shout out to Eric
in Vermont. Please find our girls out in DC. We will talk about that next time.
Yeah, so next show, which hopefully will be this weekend. We are going to have a conversation about the DC girls that are missing. We're going to talk a bit more about what's happening in the political world. Just a little touch here and there.
We didn't talk about it at all this time.
Yes. We did it!
We did it! We didn't get into
I'm very proud of us right now.
We got into Trump for like 15
minutes. We're not talking about any of that.
And that goddamn Conway, let me tell you, he's got...
We're not talking about any of that. None of this.
Hold me back.
Spicer,
it was great.
Spicy.
Melissa. We hope that we see you guys again or we hear from you again. Please shoot your emails to awolradioshow@gmail.com or to my Facebook or bother somebody magically in the air. I'm sure that somebody will respond.
You could hit me up or...
He's figuring out his Gmail.
No, you can hit me up on my Instagram, lou.dreams. Check out... MissUppity.com, guests.
Instagram Miss_Uppity. Check that shit out.
And I do want to give a quick shout out.
Some post-language performance art, man.
Yeah, get some poetry in your life.
There we go.
Plus, you know, I am selling steak.
I want to give a quick shout out to...
Diversify your addiction, motherfucker.
A quick shout out to Rome Skillfalls. Or Skyfalls, I'm sorry. I met this gentleman on the train uptown today. And apparently... he's a book publisher, but on a very low, low scale. But what he tries to do is get people who are into writing, who produce many like little books.
He does. That's what I do.
Yeah, and he publishes them, and then he goes around and he sells them for you. So it's actually pretty interesting. And so I bought one of his books. I'm definitely going to check him out. It'd be great to kind of talk to him a bit more, see what he's into. But that's Rome Skyfalls. You can find out more about him at Skyfalls Publishing, SKIFALLS Publishing.com. So there you go. And if you don't know how to spell publishing, you should look that up. And until then, I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. It's only Thursday here in the beautiful city of New York. And wherever you are, hopefully it's wonderful as well. So until next time, this is Mike, a.k.a. The Walrus, saying peace. And
later, people.
Lou Valentine signing out.
Hasta mañana.
And until next time, you be well. I am the Eggman.